Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Laura, I missed you last week.
Yeah, I missed you too.
You were on the big time. They called you up the big show.
Well, I don't know about that. With a shift that starts at 3:30 in the morning, it doesn't feel real big.
I know, right?
No, it was fine. It was good. I had a lot of fun being on with Vanita in the morning. It's a busy shift.
It's a busy shift and a busy show. And I got to see Vanita on Saturday.
Yes.
We're at a graduation party for Blois Olson's daughter.
I saw that.
Graduation party season is here.
It is.
I'm preparing to install a giant tent in my backyard.
Okay, good.
You go to other graduation parties and you think back to like what our graduation was like.
Right.
And the kids do way cooler stuff. Like, it's a bit of a production though, you know. Like,
really?
You have the brag board, so you have like
all the photos. Yep.
I printed out 300 photos the other day.
Wow.
So we'll see. We'll decide.
I can't wait to see this.
Should be good. The funniest thing, and we haven't looked at this yet, but you know how at like a red carpet event or a charity event, they have a backdrop like for photos with logos and stuff?
Oh, that would be totally your style.
So
you must have one of those.
I ordered a backdrop.
Okay.
And I took the senior pictures of Seth and put them into like a cartoon app. So it takes the picture and turns it into like a comic book.
Oh, fun.
And then print it. It's just like, but this thing, so when I ordered it, it was like, all right, it's 8 feet by 10 feet, which you're just like 8 by 10. All right, that's, but then when it showed up at my house, a 10 foot wide poster.
That's huge.
It's ridiculous.
You might need some help installing that thing and putting it up.
It's going to be, I took the day off before the party.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is going to be a train wreck.
Now, are you guys catering this or are you cooking or grilling or what are you doing?
So we're having Red Wagon Pizza.
Oh, I love that.
So they're a truck. So they have like a pizza trailer.
That's perfect.
So that'll be fun. Yeah.
Good.
Seth said the pressure was on since I'm supposedly the food guy.
That's kind of true.
We better have good food at our party.
It needs to be decent, yes.
It'll be good. New York Times today talked about branding the summer.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this before?
Not branding the summer. I know like song of the summer kind of stuff.
Yes. So years ago, Megan Thee Stallion had the song Hot Girl Summer.
Okay.
And so that was sort of the song of the summer, and that phrase became everywhere. So the song was released in the summer of 2019, and that was Hot Girl Summer.
Okay.
Now, I think almost every year, if you ask me, if you ask Charlie, every summer is Hot Girl Summer, yes?
Since before the song.
That's your hope.
I was on it well before the song.
The end of this New York Times story, this is the hilarious thing about writing for the New York Times, right? You're doing a start because everyone's trying to predict what's this summer going to be.
Yeah.
So you had hot girl summer. Then you had hot vax summer.
Oh, yes.
So like after we were all vaccinated, it was going to be hot vax summer.
Yep.
This summer, so far I've seen it that this is side chick summer.
Side chick?
Yeah.
Side chick?
Side chick.
What does that mean?
So like you've got your main chick and then you've got
a chick on the side?
A chick on the side. Because multiple things. What were all of the side chicks? So it was there was like a Succession character who had a side chick. Queen Camilla, she was a side chick.
Oh, she was, yes.
Raquel from Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, God.
So Rolling Stone declared this as the summer of the side chick. another website said this is Barefoot Boy Summer.
Okay.
Because a couple of like C-list celebrities have been
showing up barefoot.
Yeah, walking around without shoes.
Can you do that? Like, can you go into legally? Clubs and restaurants barefoot? I don't think so.
In L.A., I don't know what the rules
are. Who knows?
I don't know what the rules are. But so they interviewed this marketing professor from Pepperdine University. And she predicts hot girl summer will be around perhaps forever.
Okay.
She said, because who doesn't want to be hot and a girl in the summer?
That's true.
It is true. It's hard to argue with that.
The pressure's kind of on, though. If
you Did they have to get a professor to give that quote? Is it more credibility when you're opining on hot girl summer?
Professor of what?
Yes.
Well, I
girls?
For a brief time.
Yeah, is this a frat guy who calls himself the professor?
No, it's Crystal Antonia Russell, a professor of marketing.
Marketing.
Now, Pepperdine University right there in Malibu.
Exactly.
Although very religious school.
Is it really?
We went on a tour. I thought it was going to be more of a hot girl summer type school.
It
and
was
it was
not.
More of a hot our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ
okay.
summer.
Okay.
Was what the Pepperdine deal was.
Now, what I don't like about the hot girl summer is, mm-hmm. what if you are neither hot nor a girl? Mm. The pressure's kind of on, and everybody who isn't hot or a girl is going to feel frumpy.
It's mindset.
Yeah.
And everybody can
Attitude.
Be hot in the summer.
Everybody can be hot in the summer.
Okay. Everybody can be hot
I can
in the
do
girl.
That. I
yeah.
can do that.
It's not you. I think that's an important distinction because the hotness is more about the, like, diving in and enjoying summer.
Your zest for the summer.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
I'll be a hot
It's
girl.
Not a man's view of... So when you hear people talking about hot girl stuff...
Yeah.
It's not a man's view as to what conventional hotness should
gotcha.
Be. It's whatever you want it to
okay.
be.
Okay.
Which I like.
I do. I like that, too.
Yeah. Feels right in the summer.
I can do that.
Semisonic.
Mm-hmm.
Twin Cities. Legends.
Couple more songs, right?
Couple more songs. We're going to listen to a little bit of one of them.
Cool.
Charlie fired that up. They dropped two songs today, which is apparently how it works now. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yes.
There's a little bit of sun. So they just kicked off their first full tour in 20 years this weekend.
That's awesome.
You know, the whole world knows them from Closing Time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think people here maybe know some deeper cuts.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, I
Dan Wilson, Matt Wilson,
yep.
John Munson.
I follow Dan Wilson on Twitter because he does a lot of great songwriting tips where you can write. I think it's called like Words and Music in 60 Seconds or something, where he just bangs out a song every single day and teaches you little tips for how to just spur your creativity and do the same thing. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we like that.
Yeah.
We like it. One more thing to run by you here, Laura. Do you water your lawn in St. Paul, or do you sort
no.
of let nature take its
we
course?
We kind of let nature take its course. And we have a Creeping Charlie lawn, but at least it's
green. Named after your son.
Mm-hmm. But it's nice and green, so we don't
so that's fine.
Worry about watering it too much. No,
yeah.
I do water my window boxes and my flowers, and I have a raised bed in the front yard,
okay.
but not really the grass.
So we did some seed.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been trying to water to make sure
Try
that
to keep
germinates.
It wet. Yep.
City of Woodbury, kind of interesting. They just announced major watering restrictions.
Really, already, huh?
Already, we're not even into summer.
Yeah,
but they. And it's sort of funny to think about Woodbury because you have a lot of this sort of stereotypical suburban home with a giant roll of sod in the front yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can water once during the week and once on the weekend. That's it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. A lot of cities will go to that every other day, which I guess is three times a week, right? Three one
yeah,
week, four
odds
the
and
next.
Evens. Yeah.
But still, like two seems that's tough.
That is tough.
But they did a similar thing in 2021 when there was a drought, and they believe that their policy saved at least 120 million gallons of water.
That's good. That's really
good.
So
it's good.
And it's also good for people to just have to accept that maybe their lawn isn't going to be
yeah.
pristine and picture perfect some summers. It's just
it's
not.
True.
And if yours is, that's not cool. If everybody else's is brown and you're the one with the lush green lawn, that means you're wasting the water.
No, it means you've won. You won
no.
the suburbs.
Well,
Then you're the winner. I want the greenest lawn on the block.
Well, don't we all? But come on.
I know. I do think and wish that we would get to a point where, like, we could be a little more creative with the type of ground covering we use, right?
Yes.
You know, let's change our mindset as to what we want. And I say this as someone who desperately wants the greenest lawn in the block. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do.
I hear you.
I like it. But and I would love to get rid of my grass and put something else there. But I know, like, when I sell the house, the next homeowner, if they have kids, they're going to want a backyard with a regular lawn.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Some of the innovative people in the lawn world are coming up with new seeds.
That's good.
That are less thirsty and handle the heat better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I know a couple guys who are working on different types of seeds that, you know, hopefully that'll. And I'm going to plant like a bee lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So it has some kind of. No, for your lawn.
Oh.
It's like a special seed that has low. Little flowering things that are sort of low, and so it gives bees something else to go for.
Excellent.
So that's my plan for the end of the summer.
Tell me how that works out, because that's something I could do in my
I'm
yard.
Excited about it. It's pretty very, very new and promising.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Laura.
Yeah.
More D-Rush Hour news headlines coming up, including new signs on Highway 100. A crazy turn of events for the new interim president of the U of M and his salary, plus a cool story on the origin of Lian Chen. All next on Drive Time. All right, it's June 5th. We continue with the D-Rush Hour news headlines and the Star Tribune reporting today about some new signs on Highway 100, hoping to stop those last-minute lane changers. Tim Harlow reporting on these, you know, it basically says exit only and a yellow sign off on the side of the road. They're big. On the far right lane is for drivers planning to get off the highway. It's sort of these short lanes that pop up when you have a couple of exits close to each other. They put one in Brooklyn Center, Robbinsdale, and Golden Valley. They have paint markings on the pavement, but, you know, a lot of people are getting overlaid, very dangerous. So MnDOT's saying it's going to keep using this type of signage to help people understand what those short, special lanes are for. The new interim president of the U of M is taking a salary discount thanks to some good work by the Board of Regents.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Nice nugget by Josh Vergas in the Pioneer Press. So the Regents in April were talking about salary range, right? What do you pay for this interim president of the university gig? And one of the Regents said, I don't know, we should say $500,000, which is way less than what a permanent Big Ten president would be paid. And some of the other Regents said, well, we don't want to limit the number of applicants by saying 500. So they ultimately decided just to ask candidates to suggest what they wanted for a salary. So Jeff Edinger is making $400,000 plus $300 a month for mileage and parking expenses associated with his personal vehicle. I got to say, you know, we've ripped the university. We've ripped the Regents. This is pretty cool, right? Edinger is not going to apply for the full-time job. He stepped down from the board of Toro and Ecolab. He took a leave of absence from the Hormel Foundation board. He was a former CEO of Hormel. But you think about it, you're like, all right, he asked for $100,000 less than what the Regents were going to ask for. And he left those board positions. It really goes to him approaching this position as being public service, doing something good for the university, good for the state. So I think it's pretty cool. And nice job by Josh uncovering that little detail. This was a cool story on WCCO-TV from Susan Elizabeth Littlefield with the chef and author daughter of Lian Chen sharing maybe a surprising Hollywood connection to the origin story of this Twin Cities-based restaurant chain. That's pretty good. That's a nice Sean Connery impersonation. It's a very emotional story. Leanne's older daughter, so that's Katie Chin, her sister, died by suicide. And mom, Leanne, poured herself into sewing with friends and cooking. And her sewing friends tasted, maybe for the first time, tasting authentic Chinese food. And they're like, this is amazing. You got to start catering. And that led to Carl Pollad, who had a friendship with Sean Connery and Robert Redford. What was happening in the Twin Cities in this era? And how do we return to this kind of fun? You're hanging out with Sean Connery, Robert Redford, Carl Pollad, and there's Lien Chin. Sean Connery invested in her first restaurant in Minnetonka. The crowds were huge. Leanne sold her brand to General Mills. But what an incredible story, and how cool of Katie to try to kind of preserve her mom's memory and the influence her mom and Lien Chin had on American cuisine, really. 5:30 on the button. That's the D-Rush Hour news headlines. Lots going on in the sports world. Twins are off tonight. They are off tonight. But Dave Schwartz, is Dalvin Cook still on the Minnesota Vikings? We'll get the latest on all of that from Dave Schwartz next here on CCO. Dave Schwartz is with us. Hi, Dave.
Afternoon. Afternoon, sir. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing pretty good. I'd say like a B+, B+, A-.
That's good for a Monday.
I think it's all right. Are you like, are you one of these like, ooh, Mondays?
Nah, maybe it's just
worst day of the week. What's the
professions?
What's the worst day of the week?
To me, the worst day of the week, I don't know if there is one. I guess maybe it's Sunday if you're lamenting the week coming. But I've been, you know, not to go cheesy, but I've been in professions, both of my professions now, where I enjoy working. So never minded going to work.
No,
and I didn't
mind
have to
either.
Do a morning show shift like you did. I would have hated that.
Tuesday was always my worst day. I didn't really mind Monday. Tuesday was when it sort of caught up with you. I get annoyed at sort of the obsession with the Sunday scaries, like the fact that you hear like commercials about it. It's like, you know what? Grow up. All right. Put your big boy pants on. Like, yes, it's Sunday. You have to go to work. Shut up. I get it.
I'll tell you the scaries for me, and you've probably had this.
Was that too harsh? Was I overreacting?
It was a little. I mean, a little. But I think that's our job, right?
That's right.
I used to, like, it's a Friday night where you're looking at a Saturday and a Sunday of game, event, game for kids. And not that I don't love them.
Right.
But 2 weekends ago, we had 6 lacrosse games and 6 dance recitals in 2 days. Ooh. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, it's Monday. And I was actually happy to get to Monday because it was a resting day. Like, I could just sit and work. Mm.
So here's a conundrum my wife and I have, sports related. Sam is our student athlete. Sam is a soccer player. So that means you play soccer for the school in the fall. And then the rest of the year you play for a club. So soccer is mostly what we do. Sam also ran track last year and this year. This year, because of my job, I went to 0 track meets. I tried to go to one.
Yeah.
But Sam hurt himself and so scratched from the last race that I almost made it to. Last year, I went to a bunch. My wife went to 1 track meet. Tonight is the end of the season track banquet. Are we awful parents for just dropping Sam off and saying, have a good time?
No. And I'll get real with you. And I'll get real with you for every parent, right?
Yeah.
We all only do everything that we can.
We do what we can. We're all doing our best, I think. Yes.
You got to work. Yes. You got to, I mean, you can only do so much.
And this is like,
how does Sam feel about it? Is he okay with it?
Well, Sam said, no problem. Like, Sam will sit with kids on his team anyway.
Yeah.
And Sam's like, this is not my major thing, but Sam wants to go. Great. But
it's not like you're missing high school graduation or anything.
No. I mean, if I could. No, of course you want to go to high school graduation.
Jason,
but you feel
if you're
like
looking to meet, If you're looking for me to absolve you of your guilt,
please.
I am doing that. You do not have to feel guilty. You're doing the best you can.
We're just going to skip it. We're just going to skip it. We appreciate it. We'll pay the booster fee, whatever. What do you need from me? I'll give it to you. Like, I just, we got one kid graduating this weekend. I feel like I'm going to lose my mind. It's like nonstop.
Who are those banquets really for? That's my question.
Hmm.
Am I get? I don't want to. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah,
a real quick one. I don't want to get too much in here, but and I didn't have to go to this. My wife had to go. We had a end of the year banquet for a particular. It was dance. It was 4.5 hours long. After a weekend of recitals, it was 4.5 hours long.
Yeah,
that's too much.
That's too much. Yeah, like you gotta
to go.
Keep.
My wife did.
You gotta keep the end of the year. You know, slideshow to a minimum. Now, someone says I'm awful for not making even one track meet, and that's fair. Like, I'll take the hit on that. I will say the challenge and trying. So when you have a show that's 3 to 6, like for me to take a day off to go to Sam's track meet, which is what I would have done. But the problem is this spring it was so rainy that there probably were only 6 track meets. Right. And they get canceled because of we had so much snow at the beginning of the season. A lot of the meets were canceled. That's my excuse.
I don't think you're awful. And you know, I'd call you out if I thought.
No, I know you would.
You know, I would.
I would have preferred. I will just confess that as a bit of a failing. Yeah. I think I could do a better job next year. That's all I'm saying.
When I used to have to work weekends, I missed. We had this conversation a lot. You know, you miss things on weekends. Yeah. But the trade-off is that I'm home during the week when they needed things. And now, you know, I'm lucky enough that I can get to most things. But there's things I miss that this gets scheduled in the middle of the day, and there's just no way.
It's a little different.
We're all doing the best we can.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to. I didn't have to think about this stuff. I know this sounds like a dumb excuse, but, like, you do have to think about it now where it's like, oh, I'm at work. Like, I just used to be around. It was easy. All right, let's talk about a couple actual sports things. Dalvin Cook. He's still a Minnesota Viking right now. There is a report that came out this afternoon that Minnesota and Miami, according to a Sports Illustrated reporter, nearly completed a trade back in March, but they didn't. So what's your gut say on this? Will Dalvin Cook be dealt?
I honestly, we talked about this yesterday. We had Alec Lewis on from The Athletic, and he had some great insight and more than I actually had thought that it was, because to me it's a real easy one. If I'm an opposing team and I know I can get him as a free agent, if I wait another couple weeks and thereby getting his price to come way down, I would wait. And that's what this comes down to at this point, is the Vikings, they're not holding the right cards.
No, they're in a bad situation.
Every other team is
there, right?
Yeah, it's the best of bad situations. So does any I don't even know. I don't have inside knowledge of how many offers they're getting, but I would imagine the offers that they are getting probably are pretty ridiculous enough that they would say, well, we just can't do this.
Right.
Or they're maybe not getting any at all. And teams are just going, yeah, we'd love to have them, but I don't want to pay them what you guys pay them. And if I wait another 3 weeks, you're going to release them anyway.
It's like
so
11.
Why not wait?
It's like 11 million in cap space if they trade them, but if they cut them, they'd save 9 million. Either way, he's probably gone, right?
He's gone, and I think there's
it's just
a
money. It's straight up money.
It's straight up money. Alexander Mattison and the other running backs they have are probably good enough to keep it going. And the running back position is devalued in the NFL now. It's just not what it used to be 5, 6, 7 years ago. It's just not that way. It's a passing league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Royce Lewis goes head over teacup.
Oh, that was scary looking, wasn't it?
It was scary during the game. I saw it in the CBS Mornings, like, eye-opener. They showed it this morning. It was such a scary moment, that video. Is nerve-wracking as a Twins fan, but just as a baseball fan, you're like, holy moly. It seems like he's okay.
It's incredible to me. We were at the game yesterday, so we watched it live, and we were up on the third deck watching it, so on the first base side, so we saw it. And he was, I mean, give the kid credit. He was legging it out, and he was trying to get there, and he just couldn't stop himself, and he ended up diving over the guy. And the way he came down at first, Jason, I'm not kidding. I was legitimately concerned that he had snapped his neck or something.
Yeah,
it looked bad.
It looked really
bad. The fact
bad.
That he only had a the fact that he only has a scratch on his forehead, that's incredible. And I'm sure he's got a really stiff neck today.
Yeah.
But the fact that he just came out with that, it's a miracle and a huge dodging of a bullet for the Twins.
Good, the Twins heading off day, and they'll be out in Florida, Tampa Bay, for a game tomorrow. So hopefully,
they're tough. Tampa's tough. They have the best team in the worst city right now in the majors. They cannot get any fans to come to their games, but my goodness, they're playing phenomenal baseball.
Is Rocco going to be okay? Rocco has diverticulitis.
Diverticulitis, yeah. Can you imagine what? And that, I'm not a doctor, but I would imagine stress is probably not good for any sort of condition that's dealing with your digestive system and tract. Right. You know, I mean, to be a manager of a baseball team, major or any coach at that level, and have to try to battle through that, good for him. I mean, I wish him the best. That can't be easy.
Oof. Yeah, very painful. It's like it's colon business.
Yeah, it's terrible, and it's one of those. It's if you can manage it, but you can't get rid of it. I believe it's a condition that you live with and that you manage, which cannot be easy in his profession. I'm sure they'd say, "Hey, listen, try not to be too stressed." Good luck, Doc. Thanks.
Dave Schwartz is with us, host of The Huddle on Sundays, 10 to noon, right here on CCO Radio. The Lynx finally got a win. That's nice.
Finally. They needed it. It was much needed. I think they lost the game before, and Nafisha Collier had like 30 points. So you knew they were getting close.
Yeah.
But they needed to put it all together, and they finally did.
And 1-3, but, you know, you got to get a taste of a win, and hopefully they can put a couple together. A lot of new.
It's a 40-game season, so it can go south in a hurry.
Yeah.
That's the bummer about it.
Did you watch the NBA Finals game last night?
I watched a little bit of the highlights. I didn't watch
No. That's fine.
We were trying to watch a show last night. And we were falling asleep during the previews. That's how, I mean, like, we're trying to pick
what were you
a show
trying to watch
on Netflix.
Well,
I don't know. I don't remember. I was falling asleep. We were clicking through shows. I finally looked at my wife and I said, "We're falling asleep during the previews."
Yeah, that's how you know you got to call it. You
got
to call it.
That's we got the flag up. That's it. We're done.
We watched. My oldest is a hardcore NBA fan. This is something interesting you'll find as your kids age. Seth decided to reinvent themselves as an NBA fan. So, like, on Twitter, only tweets about basketball. Like, this, like, it's part of the rebrand. When you graduate high school, you get to rebrand yourself however you want. So his rebrand, 2.0. He's been, like, shooting hoops in the driveway all the time. You're like, all right. It's kind of fun as a parent. You're like, okay. Like, let's try this on. Maybe this works. Like, hot take NBA guy. So before the game, he was all like, it's going to be a sweep. I'm like,
yeah.
Are you sure?
I thought that too. I'll be honest with you. But they came back last night. Jimmy Butler had a good game.
You know, he's all right. Marquette alum, Jimmy Butler. We're proud of him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we didn't need him here, I guess. We're fine without him.
That might have been one of the most bizarre stories I'd ever been through, Jimmy Butler's exit in Minnesota. I'm not sure on how many I had that were that bizarre.
That whole setup was a weird deal, right? Like,
it was incredible.
Classic Minnesota Timberwolves scenario, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he there's fighting, you need me, blah, blah, blah. They're flying in Rachel Nichols to do interviews. And it's like, what just happened? This was crazy.
So weird. He, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, the Wolves screwed up by letting him go. But the reality is, like, he, you know, he also went to the Bulls and that didn't work out. I mean, you know, sometimes this scenario has to be right.
And he didn't want to be here. I mean, ultimately, if a guy doesn't want to be here, you can't, if you can get rid of him, you get rid of him.
You get rid of him. That's right.
In the most dramatic and fantastic way possible.
Right? It was something. You know, if you're looking for a show, last night I started watching this sort of under-the-radar show that a lot of people aren't talking about, but it's called Ted Lasso.
Yes.
I'm on. We're finally watching season three, so we're on the move. We're on the move.
It's okay. I didn't love season three. I didn't love the ending. It was, right, it was
don't
okay.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it for me. You could spoil it right now, I suppose. What are we? We have a button.
Well,
we'd push the button.
I won't say the part where everybody dies at the end.
Okay.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. Oh, no. Dave, thank you. I appreciate
Anytime,
it.
Anytime, buddy.
The texters are just destroying me for not going to them. You know what? You people, shut up. Parent your own kids.
There you go. Yep.
Thanks, Dave. See you at 5:50 back in a minute on CCO.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.